Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from JELD-WEN. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on JELD-WEN windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Everybody, Jacob Daniel here. This is the Daniel 3 podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Episode 73. So we'll do the basic housekeeping like usual. As always, we start out with our sponsor, Rapid Eye Blueberry Wine. Will Bell, fellow libertarian meacock out of Georgia, makes blueberry wine. If Jesus was walking the earth today and turning water into wine, it would be Rapid Eye Blueberry Wine. I think I need to get that, like, some fucking kickbacks for that slogan. Like, he needs to put that on the frickin' bottle, put that on the website. I mean, I think that's gold. I don't know. Maybe I'm, as our guest tonight likes to say, maybe I'm just trash. I don't know. We'll get into it. As for what's coming up, I had a podcast scheduled for tomorrow, and that has been rescheduled to next Wednesday, and that is going to be with Carrie Baldwin. Of Mere Liberty. If you guys have watched the show before, you're probably familiar with her, or you might just be familiar with her because she's pretty popular. She's been on the Soho Forum and did a debate with Walter Block on abortion. So you can kind of imagine why I want to have her back on the show, given current events and whatnot. So we're going to have a conversation about everything going on with Roe v. Wade and the Supreme Court and just the topic in general, get into that a bit more. So that'll be next Wednesday. I think she's on a different time zone than me, so it's going to be pretty late. I think like 10 o'clock Eastern time and 8 o'clock Mountain time or something. I don't know. I'll put the details out there ahead of time. And before that, come Sunday, I have Cole coming on, formerly known as Fat Dave Smith on Twitter, member of the Tower Power Hour. He'll be coming on tomorrow. Not doing my show. I'm going to be guesting on another show. So stay tuned for that. Other than that, I don't have anything else going on. So, tonight's guest, is the second most funny comic I've ever had on my show. So, I mean, not, you know, technically not a lie, despite how unfunny he is. This is Adam Nutter. Adam, how you doing, man?
Hate you. I don't want to be here. You're watching the Ranger game in peace? No, you know, watching your dumb fucking face.
Listen, man. Listen, God or the universe or like weird spiritual forces or, you know, astrology, I don't know, like have been at play to make us talk tonight. Like, I was trying to, like, let's do the Macy's Caucus podcast. I kept trying to shuffle you around, and somehow we're both here. So I don't know. We'll just deal with it.
Fine, I guess. I guess I have to do that. By the way, I swear to God, War and Peace is shorter than your fucking intro of this podcast. It's so long.
Okay, everyone. So a couple people have complained about how long my intro is. And I'm just like, okay, has anyone watched Dan Smotz's show? Because his intro is like five times longer
than me. You're no Dan Smotz. How dare you?
What?
You hear this, Dan? He's comparing himself to you. Fucking slap him down.
Hey, at least I can pronounce his last name right. Who was it? Smotz? Was it Dan Smoltz or something?
Who said that?
I forget. Shit, it'll come to me. Somebody was talking about him and kept saying Smoltz instead of Smotz. Was it Dave or I don't know. Someone was on a podcast and kept misquoting his last name, and he made a joke about it on Twitter. I can't keep up. I mean,
that would infuriate me. If someone kept saying Neuter, I'd be like, fucking say it right. Okay,
that's definitely what I'm calling you from now on. I never thought of that before.
Really? I thought you were smarter than that. I thought that was an obvious one.
Well, I mean, there's just so much you can do with Nutter. I mean, it's the low-hanging fruit. I mean, it distracts you. When you have ADHD, it's all you can think of. It's just the, you know, what's
I get it
right in front of you.
I think I also have ADHD now as I get older, for sure. Because I'm struggling with everything I do. I have to always be doing like two things at once. I can't just do one thing.
But see, like, sometimes I wonder, okay, my theory is that ADHD is actually just like normal baseline humans, and that like we're the normal human. And then there's people that have been like drugged up and like altered through years of just like the different things the government's putting in our food and water, you know, I don't know, chemtrails, whatever you want to go into. And
fluoride.
Like,
I don't know.
Fluoride. Yeah, fluoride, exactly. And it's like, fluoride. And it's like, so like, and they, but they want us to be more like the zombified population. So that's why, like, through the pharmaceutical companies, they try to get us on all these different drugs and stuff to, and like, when I got diagnosed with ADHD as an adult, they tried putting me on different medications, and they were all awful. And for different reasons. So first they put me on Adderall, and Adderall was like fucking speed. Wait, I mean, it's speed.
Is, yeah.
And I remember like the first step I took it, I was like, wow, this shit's awesome. I feel so much better. And then like, you know, 5 days later, I was like, I don't feel it anymore. The doctor's like, oh, we just got to up your dose. Then they like just doubled the dose without like, you know, any thought to it whatsoever. And then I was just like, okay. I was like, calling them back like a few days later, I was like, I think I'm on too high of a dosage. They're like, why? I was like, I don't know, like I can't like fucking go to sleep, and like my hands just fucking twitching, like I was like this all the time. And they were like, oh, you're fine, it's not from the medication. I was like, what do you mean it's not from the medication?
It's like, why do you think you're having a problem? Like, I don't know, I've been up at night at 3 a.m. ripping children's swing sets out by my bare hands, like, right, I don't know, it's, yeah, probably a problem.
Probably. I was like, well, I literally had to go run laps around my house to go to sleep.
Yeah,
it was like 12, it was like midnight, and my wife's like, go to bed. I'm like, I can't sleep. If I sleep, I'll die. That's how I felt.
Are you Freddy? Are you a Nightmare on Elm Street? Freddy, yeah. Krueger's gonna fucking rape you in your sleep.
I literally, like a madman, just like went outside in my pajamas and just started like just like running around the block. Like, I mean, if I lived anywhere but York freaking County, it would have been probably fucking shot.
I'm with you though. I'm like the I don't like. I guess people think, or like even doctors think, because I smoke weed and the occasional mushrooms I take, like they think like, oh, you probably do whatever, like you're okay with all the drugs. I'm like, no, I don't. No. That's all I do. Like, I don't even drink. Like, I don't do, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like because mushrooms and weed are like the most natural drugs you could do. Like, without,
yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
See, that's like, I always say that, like, I'm okay with like the stuff that I like as a Christian. I think like anything that God created in nature has its time and place and intended purpose. But it's the shit that like man takes from nature and like fucking manipulates and or like takes a derivative of and like isolates it. That's when things get problematic, whether it's, yeah, made in a laboratory or it's taken out of its natural context. Like that's when it's fucked up.
I agree. Like, I'm super against like antidepressants and Xanax and all that shit. Like, I think that fuck. I was on, because when I had all my brain, I still have brain trauma, but when I was like really going through the bad parts of my brain trauma, like, they just threw like medicine at me. They were like, here, just take Lexapro, take Seroquel. I was taking like there was like some serious, if people like know what that is, like serious, like Seroquel, they were given to like veterans come back from Middle East. and they were killing themselves at like such a high clip. They were calling it Sarah Kill as like a nickname, and they just were giving that out. So there was like, here's Sarah Kill's Lexapro, and like I gained weight on it. Like I fucking felt like shit. It made me feel worse. Like my brain chemistry was fucking definitely way off. And then like it took me like two or three years of that to be like, I gotta stop this. I just went cold turkey, which I don't recommend doing that. Don't do that. But like I just did. I went fucking cold turkey. So you know, that was fucking. And I stopped, and I just felt so much better.
Yeah, and like so, I did the Adderall, and then I did. When I told them I didn't like that, like we'll put you on Ritalin. I literally felt like it was killing my soul. I felt like I was literally just going through autopilot through the day, watching myself doing things, but it wasn't me doing the things. It was like I was on the outside looking in, watching just like my body go through autopilot. And so after that, I said like, no, I'm not doing this. You know, there's got and that definitely influenced my opinion on all those like and like I went full circle. I used to think this is all made up bullshit. Then my wife and like several other people were like, no, you're definitely like you need to get checked out because like you're not normal. But now I'm back to full circle where like I think that we are more normal than what the profession, like the medical professionals and all that would say we are. It's just like everyone else has been dumbed down by all the other shit in society, and they just want us to come down to their level. I don't know. That's just my
thing. Maybe. I don't know. I think like food also I don't eat fast food. Like I'll get like, well, Chipotle is the only, I guess, fast food I consider I eat, but that's different. Like whatever. Yeah. It's like, but that's like the only thing me and my wife will get like consistently, like once a week, we'll get like Chipotle. I was in New Hampshire this past weekend. Shout out New Hampshire. Everybody for coming out. You guys are awesome. New Hampshire's fucking sick, by the way. There's no rules. You can do whatever you want. It's fucking, you just, dude, I won't say who, but off air I will.
Okay.
They're like, here's this fully automatic 3D printed gun I made. Want to hold it? Like, I do.
Shit.
I also got to hold the fucking like World War II, which I won't even say what gun it is because I don't want to give, that's how much I don't want to give anybody away. But I got to hold like a fucking legit vintage World War II rifle. That was cool. That was awesome. So New Hampshire rocks. The fuck was my point of the saying New Hampshire's awesome? Oh, I was up in New Hampshire. All right. So one of the other comics I was with, it was like late and we're in the middle of nowhere in New Hampshire pretty much. So there's like a Wendy's by our hotel. He's like, oh, I'm gonna stop and get Wendy's. And he did, and then he got like an extra sandwich he couldn't finish. He's like, you want this? I was like, fuck it, whatever, I'll eat it. I felt like shit for 48 hours after that. Off of one fucking Wendy's like chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
Like legitimately, I felt like I had a brick in my stomach the next morning. And like I felt like even on the drive home, 6 hour drive, whatever, 5.5 hour drive, like I felt worse like comparatively than driving up. I was like, yo, this is like slowing me down, like mentally and physically. And just, it's why I don't eat processed shit. It's awful.
Well, so I don't know if you remember me telling everybody, or I don't know if I was vegan for like 5 years. And I was still vegan for maybe like the first year I was involved in the Libertarian Party, but I kind of stopped late into 2020. So I don't know if we had met yet or not. I don't think I was vegan by the time we met, but I was vegan for like 5 or 6 years. And I remember when I first went vegan, I thought that like, oh my gosh, I feel so amazing. And, you know, then after like 4 or 5 years, I started to realize like, wow, this is killing me. And so I went back to like, you know, eating, you know, regular food, not like rabbit food. But I think the reason why a lot of vegans feel good right away is because, at least for the most part, unless you live in like California or in weird, obscure places, fast food places don't have vegan options. So when you first go vegan, you cut out a lot of processed foods and you cut out a lot of fast food, especially.
That's fair.
And then, you know, I think just the health benefit that comes from cutting that shit out gives people that like short-term boost, and they're like, oh my God, this is amazing. But it doesn't last. Like, it eventually catches up with you.
Yeah, that's a good point. I also like, I don't believe, like, I know, and especially when my fucking dumb liberal friends would be like, fucking vegan stuff, whatever. And it's like, shut up. Because like, this is gonna come off mean, it just, whatever. But like, a lot of people I know who are vegan are fucking fat. And
yeah.
because it's like you're not balancing it out with like the other things that we're supposed to be eating. Like, for sure, don't eat sugar. I'm not like, obviously, but like, I don't know. Like, you know, this ever hit this like the new seed oil? Like, I don't know if anyone can say conspiracy, but the new seed oil like theory that seed oil is a bear for you.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. Yeah,
because of like the, I'm going to fuck this up, like the omega oil or something, the omega acid.
I don't remember the reason why, but I
know.
I mean,
yeah. But all I know is animal fats are good for your brain. I know that. And like when you remove that from your diet, I think it definitely fucks you up all the way. I think it fucks your thought, like your metabolism, all of it. I you need that shit for sure. You need protein, like real protein, not made up plant protein.
Well, and what people, so like vegans will make arguments that like seem legitimate on the surface, but when you dive deeper, they're not legitimate. So like they'll say you can get all the same vitamins, minerals, and protein from plant food that you can from animal food. And to be, I'm not saying eat nothing but meat. You should have a well-balanced diet. There are some nutrients that are better gotten from plant food and some that are better gotten from animal food, and we're omnivores for a reason. We try to get the best of both.
True.
But there's a lot of stuff that, while technically present in plant foods, they're not present in the same quantities, or they're not present in quantities that are bioavailable, because they'll be in different forms. Iron, for an example, plants have iron, but it's different than the iron found in meat. And so our bodies are evolved that we can absorb the iron in meat with like, you don't absorb anything with 100% efficiency, but like you absorb the iron in meat, like I think, you know, this is me going off memory, like 50 to 70% efficiency. But with plant food, it's like 5 to 10% efficiency. Like you absorb so little of the iron within plant food because it's just chemically different.
Dude, this is how I know you need animal and protein in you. Fun fact, true story, it's going to be gross, but whatever. So I was like 24 years old, and I was still playing football, and I was also still doing MMA at the time. So I had to like, I was in a weird spot where I had to like cut weight for certain months of the year for MMA, but I was still playing football. So I was just like destroyed. My body was destroyed, right? So like I couldn't like really gain muscle to fight, but then I had to gain muscle to play football. So my body was all fucked. And I was just not eating properly at all. Like I was almost not eating at all at one point. And I was having intercourse with a young lady. And I realized that my semen was like a honey color. I was like, oh, that's an STD for sure, right? Like that's 100% STD. Like, I'm coming honey. Like that can't be healthy for me. So I was the doctor and I was like, I have an STD. He's like, you don't. I'm like, I do. And then he's like, you don't want this test. I'm like, no, I haven't. I'm like, I don't want to die or whatever. I was so scared. He's like, all right. And then he took a Q-tip and shoved it in my dick hole and scraped it. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then he's like, you don't have an STD. And I was like, fuck. He's like, what do I have? He's like, you have a severe iron and protein deficiency. So,
oh wow,
yeah,
there you go.
yeah. So
that's a painful way to learn that lesson.
Yeah, you'll don't have if you that happens to you guys, don't have a thing shut up your cock hole. Just eat chicken or steak, you'll be fine.
Well, I mean, the good news is we're only 20 minutes in, and you've said the word penis and cock now at least half a dozen times. So I mean,
well, Tom Woods, I would be letting Tom Woods down if I didn't.
I forgot to like have like I usually like I just know you so well I didn't do an intro, and I was going to intro by saying like, by the way, for all my Christian audience, like this is a bit of a, you know, not safe for work edition of my show because it's not usually quite that, but it's whatever. Like,
sorry,
I get so, and we've talked about this before. Like, I don't understand why. But this isn't just Christians. Like there are some people that get so uptight about like the things you say or the kind of jokes you make. And I don't know. I can't imagine living life so worried about that kind of. I mean, there's a time and place. Like this is a podcast. Like I don't think it doesn't matter if we're letting loose a little bit. Like if I was like, I don't know, getting up to give a presentation in front of like thousands of people, you know, then it's a different context.
Yeah,
like,
I'd be a bit more nuanced
professional, but like, you know, when you're just talking with people and stuff, like, and I don't know, I just have this thought. I'm like, Jesus was hanging out with like fishermen and like the working class people of the day, and like I don't know what their vernacular was, but the idea that like,
I guarantee I can make Jesus laugh 100%. He'll laugh my deer joke.
Right, yeah. And to act like Jesus was like some like fragile snowflake that like, you know, because like whatever the curse words were back then or like crude jokes, act like those weren't made in his presence, or if they were, that every time he heard them, he was just like like, I
bet you he loved a good dick joke. There's no way he didn't. I think every guy does, and they're lying if they say they don't.
It's just, I don't know. It's just, and I've tried to search the Bible for verses to back me up, but it's just, it's not something the Bible, like, humor is not something the Bible talks about all that much.
Nah,
just,
more about but, killing and death.
Oh, okay. So what are, I guess we can get into that a little bit. You know, what are your, I know you were raised Catholic and you're kind of, I think, basically agnostic, but like, I don't know, expound about on that a little bit. I mean, you know, were you ever religious? Did you ever believe in God? Do you, are you like, just like, I don't know, or do you have any opinion? What are your opinions of the Bible? Well, like, go into that.
I went through like a lot of, I guess, a arc. Like every kid does, or adult does. But like, yeah, so you
went on an ark, like a Noah's Ark?
Like a Noah's Ark, yeah. I kidnapped a lot of animals. They were not happy. It took me forever to get them in the small box, but I got it done. So my parents are Catholic, Italian, obviously. I mean, no, Nutter's not Italian, obviously, but I'm very Italian. Like, my mom's all Italian. My dad's even mostly Italian, just the Nutter name isn't. But I come from Italian trash from Staten Island. Hey, so Catholic, it's very, you know, like going to church every Sunday. So every Sunday I would go to church with my parents, like had to go, unless I was sick or something like that. But like, you know, like they weren't monsters. They were like, no, you go to church. But like, no, they were like, yeah, unless you're not sick or any reason, like, you know, yeah, church, you can come to church with us. It's like, oh, I hate this. Then I went to public like elementary school, but then I went to Catholic high school. I went to all 4 years. That was actually more of a decision for two reasons. Public school's trash, and the football option was better for me in that school than other schools. So I went there. So, and I like going there. Like, I wasn't psyched about the religion stuff because, like, I think it was a lot because it's my parents are making me do this, right? And I'm like rebelling. I'm like, I don't give a shit. This is stupid. Like, yeah, I believed in God when I was younger, like all of the Catholic stuff. And then once like junior year hit, I was like, nah, I don't think this makes sense, a lot of it. And then junior year, I was like, my first year, my mom was like, all right, you don't got to come anymore, like, if you don't want to. And I was like, done, haven't been back since. But as I got older, my wife's a Catholic school teacher, you know, I talk about that in my act and stuff like that, like, you know, obviously she's a
we know it's almost a meme at this point, just kind of like, you know, Ben Shapiro's wife is a doctor, Adam Nutter's wife is a Catholic school teacher, like, we get it.
Yeah, it's true. So, you know, I obviously married her, and I went through a hard atheist phase, like in my early 20s, just like, again, rebelling, I think, mostly like, nah, it's all fucking natural. And then you go through that phase, and then you get older, and you start to, you know, read more and listen to more people who are wiser than you, and think, that's not bad, and you start to expound upon, like, okay, well, even the Big Bang is, that's fine, it's real. Well, how the fuck did that start, right? It's always like, well, how the fuck did that become a thing? And then again, you know me, I'm fascinated with animals, which I want to talk about if we have time, but like,
we'll get into it. Yeah,
but then you look at like apes and shit and how they hold like their babies, and you're like, that's so human like and like, you know, like, maybe we did share an ancestor, but like, still, like, where did that come from? Like, it's always that thing of like, where the fuck created the thing that created the thing? So it's like, something still had to create that thing. Well, where is it? And then as I got older, I just became more agnostic, where I was like, I think, yeah, something had to be a creator of something. I just don't know if it's necessarily like the Catholic God or, you know, the Christian God or whatever. There has to be something, though. I don't know. Maybe aliens made us and something made aliens. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't fucking know. But I feel like there's a creator to something. I'm not saying what it is. I don't know. But I definitely don't believe in nothing anymore. I just don't know what it is.
Gotcha. No, that's fair. Yeah, the whole animal thing is... Like, I remember looking into this very heavily when I was vegan, because like I cared a lot about that during that time. And this is, again, another subject that the Bible is not like super clear on. I know James talked about it when you had him on your show, and like the Catholic view. You know, my thought is, I mean, like, there's talks in the Bible about like God will create like a new heaven and a new earth. I'm like, well, if it's a new earth, then it's probably going to be somewhat like, you know, something maybe mirroring the old earth, right? So like, I mean, it'd be weird to be on a new earth and it's like, okay, are there any animals? No. Any trees? No. Any buildings? No. It's like, okay, well, what makes this earth? Like, there's right. Probably like, logically, you can assume, all right, there'll probably be something like animals that exist. And I mean, are they going to be, God just makes animals from scratch? Or like, you know, do animals have souls that when they die, they'll go to the new earth along with us? Dude, I don't know. I mean, And it's weird also, like, when you're looking at the animal kingdom, it's like they're not all equal. You know what I mean? It's like there's some animals that you're just like, you know, wow, like it seems they're very much like us, and other ones that are like, this is just a plant. Like,
well, that's what I'm saying. Like, again, like you look at there's just some fish out there where they literally just have like the dumb face, and you're like, well, that, what the fuck has no purpose. Like, you know, this thing has no purpose. But then again, like you look at a raven, right? Which I've been fascinated about ravens. Like, again, like scientists say they have self thought and are self aware of themselves. Like they understand water displacement. Like they could drop, they understand to put rocks and shit to put water there. What, right. Like, they could teach their kids to love or hate you depending on how you treated them and their grandkids. Like, it's like a cycle. Like, it's a family cycle. Like, so many things. They hold funerals. They investigate deaths. Like, there's so many things ravens do that I'm not even saying like human-like, but are pretty, it shows a sign of consciousness that are more so than a lizard does. You know, I so like that. You can't.
Yeah.
What, that's what I'm saying. And then I know James is like, well, I think the purpose overall is that they can't serve God. I'm like, okay, well, I don't know. Is that the...
But I don't even know if that's biblical. Like, because, like, there's definitely parts in the Bible where God uses animals to do things. So it's like, to me, it's like, I don't think God has a... Like, some people construe it that God has a low opinion of animals. And it's like, no, I think God actually has a high opinion of animals. There's one passage in the Bible, I forget the book, but God says, I make sure that even like the sparrow or the bird has food to eat. You know what I mean? And,
right.
and is taken care of. And so if I care for the bird, how much more do I care for you? It's not that God's saying, I don't give a shit about animals. He's saying, I care about you just, you know, even more, but it's right. Kind of like, so he cares about both. He cares about humans a lot more, but he still cares about animals. And like the Genesis story is like, God put man here. Like, you know, I mean, and I'm not a fundamentalist. I don't think the book of Genesis is like a literal story that happened. But I think it explains thematically that like God put us here to be stewards of the earth. And that includes over the animals, right? So like I'm not a vegan anymore, but I still have that. Like I still do believe that humans' role is to care for animals and for the planet. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's part of our,
I agree.
That's part of our calling.
I also think like though... eating at it's like part of like it's we're sharing the ecosystem with that.
Well, it's
like,
the circle
know,
it's of
like,
life,
right? It's like it, it's like yeah. I don't believe in torturing, like I don't believe in factory farming and shit. I think it's awful.
No,
I think you're torturing animals, but I don't think that like there's a really funny meme from years ago where there's like a PETA billboard and it was like a whole row of animals. It went from like,
oh, is it the one that's like, where do you draw the line?
Yeah, it was like horse, cow, chicken,
right?
And, like,
and I love the memes
cat,
of people,
dog, and then like the line was like right between chicken and cat, like yeah. Chicken and dog are right there.
I love the meme where people took that one and they're just like everyday life.
Emergency,
like drought, famine, emergency, like apocalypse.
I agree with that though. Like, yeah. Like that meme, because like, yeah, that's kind of it. Like, it's that thing of like, yeah, we share the earth together, and like, thanks for your meat. And sometimes they get us, so you know, it all balances out. Every now and then, you get a dumb guy in an alligator's tummy.
Damn it, we have some kind of spam account here making comments or something. I don't know, probably just block.
Definitely not.
Yeah. For the audio listeners, it's Caleb from Faith, Liberty, and Praxis saying, Adam, what are you doing on this shit show? Does Daniel have dirt on you? Do you need help? Blink twice if you're being held hostage. Now, the truth is, Adam and I are just like, we were going to do a PA Mises Caucus podcast tonight, but like all of our co-hosts bailed because like they're irresponsible adults.
True.
Somehow. And somehow we're the responsible ones.
I know. People are like, really? Weird. And I'm like, no, it's me. I'm one of them.
it's just like at the convention, how like you and I were the most sober. Like you were like completely, I mean, you were just smoking.
I was high,
a little bit.
But,
you were high.
No,
but, like,
I was like very, but see, I'm just so good high. Like I did smoke so much where I was like dehydrated high. But I'm still able to operate and speak and be normal.
Yeah, you were very coherent and like you were you know, you could pass as sober.
Yeah,
everyone else around us was just like complete. I mean, just like, you know, like that middle space between like blackout drunk or high and like
obliterated.
Yeah,
some people were just obliterated. I mean, I've told the story on my podcast, but I was like, when I had to be telling people to be quiet, you know, you guys are fucking up. If I'm like, hey, you guys are being too much. We gotta fucking scaled back the energy here. Like, if I'm saying that, you guys are being obnoxious. Like, if I'm the voice of reason, yeah, you guys fucked up.
Yeah, no, it's that was a fun weekend, but yeah, it was it's definitely weird being, because I used to party hard with like drinking and stuff, and now I exhibit self-control and just have I get myself like just like a little bit intoxicated and I just like cut it there. And it's weird watching people go crazy when you used to do that and now you don't, because you're just like, man, was I like that? Because that's embarrassing.
I hate being around drunk people. It's the worst. Like, again, I don't drink and I haven't drank in 6 years, and people think because I have a problem. No, I never had a problem. I hated the way drinking made me feel.
It's not
like
that good for you.
That's what I'm saying. That was mainly a health decision. I was like, I'm gaining weight, probably isn't good for my kidneys and liver. I'm gonna stop. I don't even like, I hate like hangovers, like those suck. Like, I just hated it, so I stopped drinking. But
of course, there are benefits to drinking wine, of course. So everybody,
wine,
you know,
is actually better for you. Yeah, that's
it, it actually is, unironically.
But I was just drinking, I never really drank liquor, but I was drinking beer, like just a lot of beer. And I was like, fuck this. This is just, I'm done with this. And I just stopped drinking everything. I was like, I'll just, again, weed and the occasional mushroom. But it's bad for you. Yeah, it's the fucking worst. Where the fuck is it going along with this? Why is booze bad for you? What did you say to me if you go down that rant?
Dude, I don't even know.
God damn it. My brain is this, so trauma.
So it wasn't even a sentence. My brain is so trauma.
Jesus. I can't remember shit anymore. Like, my short-term memory is just fucking God. Dude, I have a medical note that pretty much tells me that I'm bad at puzzles.
Wow.
It's true. I had to take one of those medical IQ tests, essentially.
Yeah.
Is what it is. To keep up and see how like my cognitive function is going, all the brain trauma I have and stuff. And I'm good, really good with trivia, which is weird. Like, my trivia knowledge is fucked, because they actually ask you trivia questions in the thing. I'm not even kidding. Like, they'll ask you like the distance of the sun, like what is like certain words mean, like who is leader of a certain plate. Nailed them. I was like fucking like 100%. And they're like, do this puzzle. And it was like 5 pieces. And I was like, all right, easy. And they're like, now do this puzzle. I was like, 7 pieces. Like, it was like taking me like a little bit of time.
I wonder if, like, so you know how like if you lose one of your senses, like your body compensates and the other ones become heightened?
Yeah, like Daredevil. Yeah, I watched Daredevil.
Yeah. yeah, exactly. I wonder if the brain is like that. Like, if you have brain damage, maybe the parts of your brain that work get like, maybe they work better. Because it's like, imagine like if you have a CPU and you turned off parts of the CPU, there's more RAM and energy to go towards the other ones. I don't know. That's just a thought. Because like, there's some people that have some disabilities that like, that are sometimes like the best musicians, or they're like, you know, just really good at like, they're really bad at like social skills and like just like basic life stuff, but they'll be like really good at science or math or something. So it's, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm so good at so little things. I just gotta make sure I don't lose my brain power in those little things I'm good at, or I'm fucked.
Wow. So you've done mushrooms, you said?
Yeah.
Have you ever had like any like weird, like whether spiritual or like stuff like that, or
not? So like other people, I mean, have? I have that bit in my act, where, which is true. I accidentally was on shroom, which I was on purpose, but then I accidentally took like fucking 8 to 10 hits of acid by accident while on the shrooms, and that fucked me up. And that's why I'll never do acid again, ever, because of that. And the story's funny. I tell it on stage, but like, shrooms,
it's so
alone,
funny that I heard it twice in one day and still laughed at it.
Oh yeah. It's a crazy story. By the way, the story got better. I got better at telling that bit. I added stuff to it. I like the ending too now. But yeah, like with shrooms alone, though, for me personally, because I have a very high tolerance for just drugs in general, like even like Tylenol. Like, I have to take 4 Tylenol to like quell a headache, not like 1 or 2. I need like a lot. I just have it. Like, edibles don't work for me because I have that enzyme that like fucking won't metabolize it. So I'm like, so I got to really take drugs to get high. So with shrooms, how I've gotten high before is, the most high I've gotten off shrooms is like, things kind of just get like, everything's like squiggly. That makes sense. That makes sense. So like, everything would be, it's like, everything's like looking through a fire. You know what I'm saying? It looked like really close, like a like the heat coming from fire and like how everything behind the fire. Just like,
okay,
like
yeah, yeah, yeah. I see what you mean.
Like that
okay.
squiggly. It's kind of yeah. like that, but like more swirls. I like, kind of like Van Gogh's Starry Night.
Okay, all right.
Okay, and you're like, whoa, but like, but you see, but like, I can't. It's so hard to explain, right? Like if you've never done them, right. And everyone's trip is different too. But like.
Well, and I want to try because especially from like a religious perspective, I'm interested. But yeah, I gotta. But like, I'm not gonna do it at like a libertarian convention because I'm just like that doesn't feel safe.
You gotta do it in the summertime, like and outside is like it's like the time to do it, like outside when it's nice out, so you just walk around, and you don't like you don't want to be like inside a trapped. Can you be like fuck? This sucks. And the stove might be like, "What's up?" I'm like, oh, I don't want that. You know, it's like, but like if you, but like ever like but people, I never hallucinated off. That's not true.
Okay.
No, that's not true. I think I saw was a fish one time jumping out of the street with the clouds. I think I saw, yeah.
Sounds like a Dr.
One time.
Book.
Yeah, kind of what it reminded me of, actually. That's actually how, yeah, I think I forgot if I, yeah, but that's if I remember that correctly, it was out of the clouds of the street. I was like, whoa. But that was the only time ever. I never, ever, ever even came close to listening again. And it's just been like the squiggly line, but like that on top of like a really high, let's say, weed feeling. That's how it always hits me. You're like, whoa. And then you're like, everything's like, whoa. That's kind of what it's like. And acid just fucked me up. And that it's awful. I hate it. Don't, it's bad.
No, I would, yeah. I draw my like weed and psychedelics like mushrooms are about where I draw my line. Like, I have no interest in going past that.
I want to do DMT.
That's the Joe Rogan bit. If you've done DMT,
I know, but I do want to because this is why I also think of like I don't know if ghosts are real and shit or alternate dimensions and universes, but like I don't know. It's weird to me that everyone who takes DMT describes the same exact fucking thing.
Yeah, that is weird.
They all go, well, there's like mechanical elves that try to stop you from breaking through the other side. Now, once you break through the other side, that's always a different story.
Every time people explain that, I just think of that. What was that book, like Artemis Fowl and the fucking like fair like elves or something?
It reminds
that...
me of steampunk stuff, which is like half my sleeve of tattoos.
Yeah,
little steampunk. It reminds you of like steampunk, like steampunk elves. But that's isn't that weird? Because like no one has the same trips on acid or mushrooms. Like if you and I took mushrooms right now, you would have a different trip than me, 100%. Like you might see this quickly lines, but like you're gonna see different shit too. Like I'm gonna see different shit. We're gonna experience differently. If we both took DMT and we got high off it, we would both see those elves, and then maybe or maybe not see the god on the other side.
What does DMT make? Because it's not found naturally, right?
No, it is. It's made in our pineal gland.
Right, but it's like it's not like you can go out and like pick it. Like you have to like
no, you
extract
could,
it.
Yeah, you have to like extract it and boil it down. I don't know how to make, but yeah, you can. It's like a leaf. I think okay. You have to like boil it down a certain way and do something to it, and then you can cook it at your house for sure. But it smells. I know that much.
I don't know.
One of my dumb fucking pothead friends, comedian friends, is like making DMT vape pens. I'm like, I'm not gonna trust you, but good luck. you're an idiot. Like you live in your parents' house. Like you're not making DMT vape pen. You want me to smoke?
My problem
DMT
with like wanting to try stuff is just like anytime the opportunity arises, I'm like, yeah, this is not a trustworthy situation to try this shit for the first time, and so I don't do it. But yeah, at some point.
I've also MDMA. Yeah, yeah. But that's like different.
I've never used that, but like everybody at my prom used that, and that was a shit show.
But it's like that's like a weird one. It's like you. It's like a. Want to do this? You just want to do that a lot. It's like a touchy feely. It's like a very emotional. It's not. It's different. It's a different. It's not like a trippy.
Yeah, dude. It's so weird how our brains are so easily like, you know what I mean? Like, cause like right now, like when you're sober, you feel like you control everything around you, right? Like you feel like, you know, everything coming in, like all the input, and then everything you do in the outputs, you're just like, I'm the master of my kingdom, and like you just feel very in control. And then like, you know, for some people, and I used to be this way, but I'm not so much anymore. Like I'm just more curious. But like, you know, some people are like, I think the reason they're maybe like they had this stigma around drugs and altered states of consciousness is because of like they fear that like lack of agency, and like they don't want to admit the extent to which like they're like how you experience reality and kind of like the essence of who you are, like your being, is so easily manipulated by like by anything. And it not even just the hard drugs, like, I mean, like we were talking about earlier, like just like the things you eat, or like caffeine, or how much you sleep, like all this stuff affects the way you perceive reality around you. And I don't know, like the human mind is so fascinating. And I think, so on one hand, like, you know, we can observe this stuff through science, but then when I just like think about it all in a very like, I don't know, like meta, like, you know, zoomed out way, just like all the different things in terms of like, you know, different ways people experience reality, all the different experiences people have. And just like, you know, how weird it is that like we're this like amalgamation of like all these different chaotic processes going on, but then like we're a person. And I was like, how do you get from like all this, like, you know, like when you think about like everything that goes into like what we're doing right now, like we're, like on one hand, it's like we're having a conversation. It seems like super fucking simple. But then it's like, think about like the like hundred different ways you could break down what we're doing right now. And it's just like, I don't know. Like, to me, that's why I believe in God, or at least I believe in like some kind of like, it can't all just be natural shit. Like, it's just like, it's too crazy. I don't know.
I'm gonna call you Valley Girl Jacob for the amount of time you just said like in that fucking like, and then like God like came down and like totally like was like, bless me. And I was like, totally God. You said like 100,000 times. That's all I could focus on after a while. I was like, how many times are you gonna say like?
Dude, Dave Smith does that too sometimes, and I'll get hyper autistically focused on it.
It's just sometimes I pick it up from people. I'm sure I do it too, by the way. I'm not shitting on you, but like
I know I do that sometimes, I'll notice when other like people you think are like, you know, eloquent, good speakers, but like I've noticed, like there was an episode of Dave Smith's podcast like a year ago where I noticed he does the same thing. It was like literally like somebody like and you know, and it's sometimes. Autism is such a weird thing. Like, because sometimes it's like you go through life normally, and sometimes you focus on the dumbest shit. Like, you ever have that experience where like someone says a word, and you're like, "What the fuck is that word? That's a word? I've heard that before, but no, that doesn't seem like a word. That seems made up."
I've hyper focused on how people said a word the wrong way. I'm like, I don't like how you said like cinnamon. Like, would you like you know?
I don't like
whatever,
the way you just
like
said cinnamon. That literally the way you said it right there.
Cinnamon?
Yeah, you said it differently the first time.
Cinnamon.
Yeah, that way's gay.
That sounds the same to me.
But like, the first time you did it, you were like cinnamon.
Cinnamon.
It was weird. I don't know. Maybe it was just like, then there's that thing like your brain, we're so easily suggestible, because like there, you ever see those dumb things on like Facebook and stuff where it's like they do this with hearing or with sight, where it's like you can see or hear different things, and it's all the same thing. But like, the suggestion of like what's being put in front of you visually will influence how you hear it or see it, basically, even though it's the same picture or the same audio clip.
There's a GIF where it's like radio towers fucking jump roping. It's obviously an animated GIF. It's not real.
Okay. Yeah.
Animated GIF. Sorry. Of radio towers jump roping. And it's like you could hear this sound without the sound being played. And your brain plays the sound you think it would. It does. It's wild. It's like anybody can look that GIF up. It's like a pretty famous, like, you know, meme GIF about that. And you hear like ding, ding, ding. There's no sound, but you're hearing it in your fucking head, and you're like, God damn it. Like, how is it doing that? Or like, there's those illusions where it's like, if you look at it, the stairs this way, they'll always be going up. But then as soon as I tell you that they're going down, you can only see it going down unless you leave the page and come back.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
and there was this one the other day that I saw that was like, this picture has four black dots, but you can only see one at a time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Which
wild.
Is, yeah. And so, I'll spend like 5 minutes just be like, why? Why can I not see two at the same time? And like
not that I don't believe in aliens or UFOs or anything like that, but I do think that a lot of for sure sightings could be accounted, like, you know, probably just miscited or confusion or something like that. Because, you know, people are also dumb. So I don't put anything past, but I do believe in aliens and shit. But well, I don't know. Actually, I have no idea. I don't know what's out there. But fucking, I think probably. But scientists say that our brains will connect. We automatically, to try to familiarize stuff, your brain will connect dots, physically connect dots. So sometimes if you're up in the night sky and it's like kind of hot, fucking hazy or foggy, whatever, and you see, you know, maybe three stars that kind of are close, you might physically piece them together like a triangle spaceship. So it looks like a triangle spaceship from, you know what I'm saying? Because your brain's like piecing it together to try to be like, is that an object? And then you're like, oh, that's in a spaceship. And then you're like, nah, dude, it's just three stars that you just, your brain was like, nah, it's just, it's called pareidolia. Oh, that's for faces. You ever hear that?
No, well, I think I have.
So pareidolia is if you look at a knot in a tree, and you go, oh, it's like an old man's face.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's human beings.
Yeah, dude, I used to do that when I was
to things to make it to familiarize ourselves, kind of.
When I was a kid, the ceiling of my bedroom had like, it was like one of those like weird textured ceilings.
Yeah,
and there was like one spot where I would always think it looked like a moon, like a half moon with like an eyeball and a mouth and a weird top hat.
Yeah, so that's pareidolia.
I can literally, and then I remember the first time, like, you know, I like when I was dating my now wife, and I tried pointing it out to her, and she like could not see it at all. I was like, it's right there.
Yeah, she's like, okay, no. Schizophrenic.
Right. Like, okay.
She's like, sure, last time I'm seeing you, let me leave, please.
Then I locked her in my basement, and you know, we've been happily ever after together.
And the chains on her feet are just welded through her skin now, so it's fine. She doesn't hurt anymore. But it's like Uncanny Valley creeps me out. You know, like Uncanny Valley is?
No.
It's when something is trying to pass as human, but we go, that's not human. It's like like AI shit, but in a
what's that weird Facebook ad of like replica, like the weird AI friend if you're lonely? That shit was like creepy as fuck.
That is creepy. That's not what I'm talking. So no, that's not Uncanny Valley. That's just like straight AI trying to trick you. Uncanny Valley is like iRobot, right? Like the robot's face is an iRobot, where that kind of looks human, but you're not human. That's what Uncanny Valley is. So it's shit like that, and it's like this unsettling feeling we get as a human being, almost as like a hey, your brain's like, hey, danger. That's not us. That's not one of us. Like, be
like
careful.
Is it like the those creepy dolls that like old people have in their houses and shit? That kind of like, or a little like that.
Yeah, kind of. Yes, yeah. Because you're like, that's a human being object, but it's not a human being, right?
Well, especially like toys will creep me out if they're like, it's one thing, like even like
dolls are creepy. No, you're right.
Yeah, dolls are always creepy. There's something, even like an action figure can be creepy if it's like old and worn down and like the paint started to rub off and like the eyes aren't quite there. And like, you know what I mean? Like, it'll just.
There's this video on Reddit you can see, and it's one of the biggest watch ghost videos out there. And yeah.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Anything could be fake, of course. So take that with a grain of salt, obviously. Right? Anything could be fake. But these guys have been like saying, like, hey, we've been having problems like paranormal activity here for like a while, right? Like noises, fucking shit, lights, whatever the fuck. It's weird. So they were like, we're trying to, anytime we hear a noise, we're trying to just record. So they had like, you know, videos, I think, previous to this video that went viral, I think, where, you know, nothing really came of it. But they're like, we just heard a noise. And they run to it and be like, yeah, nothing. So this one, they hear a noise and they're going through, they're going to where the banging was. And like, we can't fucking find it. They can't find it. They go to like this little crawl space and there's all these fucking toys like all over the place.
Oh God.
And they put the light on and they're like looking around. They're like, ah, nothing's here. They leave, whatever. They post a video. Someone's like, hey, did you guys see that fucking toy's head move? And they're like, no. I think the people who initially posted the video didn't even notice it. I could be wrong on that though. But people in the comments are like, the fucking head move. And you go back and you watch it, and the all the way in the back up against the wall is like this tall, kind of like Lego like bull creature, like a Minotaur looking creature. And it's solid, and even the guy said like the head doesn't move it can't just move over. That's because they went back and looked at the toy, and the head just went, it was like stagnant like this, and then when they were leaving the fucking like crawl space, it just went and like turned to the right, and I was like, that's fucking creepy. Also hard to fake, I guess. Like, how would you fake? I mean, unless you, but yeah, but then people also like verify the toy brand, and like it's creepy. This is, there's a lot of creepy videos that like a lot are fake and bullshit and easily fake and CGI and like or explainable. There's some out there where you see them, and you're like, the fuck was that? Like, you know, that's kind of hard to explain. Like, I don't know. There's only a few out there that I really look at and I go, that's.
Yeah, my wife shows me creepy TikTok sometimes. Where, like, there was this one that, like, a girl was, like, had her closet kind of open behind her and was just recording, just a regular TikTok where she's just talking. But then she reposted it because people were commenting that they were like, there's something in your fucking closet behind you. And like, when you looked at it closely, it looked like there was like this like, you know, like creepy, like ring girl in her closet that was just like staring at her.
You see, when I hear that, I think like, that's probably a bit, like, it's probably like, when I see shit like that, I go, it's probably set up. Like, I guess like almost too perfect, but like, I could be wrong. Right. But like the ones that get me are usually the ones in nature or people are just like filming. Like there was one, the guy was on Facebook Live, which you cannot fake, right? It's Facebook Live. You can't fake Facebook Live. And this guy was saying that there's this thing outside. It's like big, tall. He's like, I don't know what it is. It's running back and forth by the tree line. I can't really see. He's like, I'm gonna try to film it for all you all on Facebook Live. And like, you see the Facebook Live stream going and like all the comments and and this thing just runs from light pole to light pole, and he's like, whoa, and he just fucking runs back inside, and you're like, what the fuck was that? It looks like kind of like an ostrich thing almost, but not an ostrich because like it was the middle of, I think, USA. Sure, it could be an escaped ostrich from a zoo, but it definitely wasn't. Like, I'm just like, you could probably go find that video on Reddit. You know what I'm saying? But it's creepy, man. Like, there's some creepy shit out there. Like, there's some creepy fucking stories from people. I think I have a pretty good judge of character of people. I think they're bullshitting me or not. I don't know, for my previous life and previous job. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think I have a pretty good job of that. Someone told me a story of them seeing a dog man one time, and it was so real. Cause like, it's hard to fake true fear in recreating. Like, this guy was like shivering in a story, telling it again. I was like, I don't know, man, if you're faking it, good for you. Right. Cause like,
right, yeah.
You had to be, I know you had to be, it's one of the, you had to be there moments. Because I'm just telling you what I was, what he told me. But like, he's this dude I know. And as far as I know, he's not like a fucking crazy person or like a, you know, a liar or like a, or a bullshitter like that. But we were talking about like paranormal shit one night after a comedy show. And I was like, oh yeah, you like, you know, I'm like, I had some weird experiences in my life. And we're just talking about it. And he's like, I don't tell many people this because people laugh at me. But he's like, you seem to believe this shit. So I'm going to tell you. He's like, please don't make fun of me. I'm like, no, I'm like, I'm all in. Like, what are you going to say? I probably won't be funny. Like, I'm getting hard. Like, tell me right now. Like, tell me the story. You know what dog man is? I'll start there. Ever hear dog man or it's at all? Like, it's a cryptid.
I don't know.
So it's like a Bigfoot or like a, you know, a Jersey devil. It's like a cryptid being. And it's described as this giant 6 to 8, 9 foot creature that walks on its hind legs, but it could also be on all fours. And it looks like a werewolf, but it's not a werewolf. Like, it's not like a man that turns. It's just like.
Yeah,
I've
met Mark Bazzacco.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You met ugly me. So it's like something like a tall wolf like creature, but it's like intelligent. You know what I'm saying? Like, it has like a conscious to it. It's not just like a wolf. And it's apparently there's like a shit ton of sightings in PA where we live. like even by you and by me, like there's a shit ton in PA, like a lot. And he lives out. I don't want to say, I don't want to give his shit away too much, but kind of between us.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And he said one day he was out on his porch and it was dusk or dawn. Not really that important. It was just kind of light out, but not really. Okay. One of those two. And he said he lives in a kind of wooded area and his driveway was right under his porch and he's having a cigarette and a coffee. Probably makes probably morning then. Cigarette and a coffee on his porch, just chilling on his phone. And he hears his like the gravel by his tires going. He's like, oh, what the fuck animal is this? Like, you know, it could be, he's thinking like, as a shit, is a fucking bear, is a fucking, what is this? So he just starts like kind of looking down and he sees this giant wolf creature walking on like fucking like kind of like hunched over, not on all fours, but like kind of like hunched over. And like he caresses his car, crosses the street into the woods. And my friend says he's just staring at this thing. And he says the thing turns and looks at him. I don't think the dog thing knew he was there, but apparently he must have made a noise or something. And he turned around and looked at him. And he said he made eye contact with this fucking thing. And he said he froze in fucking legitimate fear. And he said the thing looked at him and was like staring him down like, don't fucking think about anything dumb, my guy. And then he said the thing turned around and just walked away. But he said he almost shit himself, like legit. And like the way when he was telling me the story, he was, his voice was quivering, like legitimately quivering. And I was like, all right, man, well, that wasn't a bear. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, that wasn't a bear. You probably saw a dog, man. I'll tell you, get a gun. I was like, because I'm like, yeah, right. I'm like, are you the best fucking liar storyteller? You deserve an Oscar. Like I'm telling you, everyone listening to me and you right now, Oscar worthy. If he's lying to me, but literally quivering almost in tears, telling me the fucking story outside of a show one night. So wow. I don't know, man. Explain that away. All you fucking people out there who want to just be like, that doesn't exist. I mean, you can't be like, he would know what a fucking bear looks like. You know what I'm saying? Like it was clear as day to him. He said he was 20 feet away from it. Just like a level up, but you know, 20 feet away.
Yeah. And that's what I was trying to say before when I went on my Valley Girl rant was just like, there's so many different things that people experience that's, you know, forget God. Like, I just believe in the supernatural. Like, there has to be, you know, something beyond just like the physical world, because there's just so much out there. Like, and obviously I believe in the things I believe in, but like, I could be wrong. Maybe it's something else, but there's got to be something. Like, there's something, you know, to all of these experiences that people have in all these different contexts, whether it's ghosts, whether it's
everyone's
these weird,
not lying and everyone's not seeing shit. It just can't be. It can't be that, right? It's like, and like, again, with the way, oh, by the way, the description of this thing, the way he told me, backward jointed knees.
Ugh, gosh.
Long. Actually, can you see this?
Yeah.
Kind of like that. That's a werewolf on my back. Kind of like that. Like those long, dangly arms. And he said it was all gray, like a dark, dark gray and like a dirty gray, he said. And he said it had a fucking head of like if a German Shepherd kind of was gray. And he had fucking like canines.
Right.
And he showed his teeth and he said he had fucking giant canines and ears like pointed up like a wolf, though, like a shepherd, like up. And that's what he said it looked like. And like kind of like his back was like a little bit arched and like some like hair off his back. That's what he said it looked like. And then turned and walked into the woods. That's fucking crazy. That's true. And that's, he saw that and that exists in the world. Fuck that! Kill that. That has to die. He
right?
can't be walking around.
Yeah. No. I mean, buy a gun. That's that.
But moral but like of the story. He said, like he says, like he looks for it all the time. Like he's always like he's constantly looking for that again. Like that experience. Not because he wants to. Like he's scared. Like he just.
Oh yeah.
He's always on the lookout for it.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
Sorry to make this not a God show. All of a sudden, talking about dog.
No, no. But no, that's listen, just sometimes. Story my friend told me. No, I mean, like, every show's different, and, like, I mean, the main theme of this show is Christian anarchism, but at the same time, like, not every episode needs to autistically be about Christian anarchism. Like, you know, I realized about like 30 episodes in, I was like, you know, making every episode about this is like a little, like, you need reprieves. And sometimes I think the audience appreciates that too. It'd be like, what if every episode Rogan talked to Dave Smith about like Yemen? You know what I mean?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Baby, I mean, it's bad enough that every episode of Dave Smith's podcast is about Yemen, but like,
yeah, right.
I meant to bust his balls more about that when I had him on, but I don't know. I was a little, well, like, I had like all these plans for like how that episode with Dave was going to go on. And then he's there. And then I was just like instant, you know, which is weird. Like, I've met Dave in person twice now, gotten over the fangirl stuff for the most part. But then it was like, for some reason on a podcast, it was more intimidating because it was like, oh, he's on my podcast. And then it was just like, okay, well, then the plan's just like completely like, I had like these notes up and stuff, like a list of like 15 questions. I got to like three of them. I was like, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
I mean, I love Dave as much as you the next day I do, but like, I view Dave as like a comic, like me. So I don't like have that.
See, I knew him as like a libertarian before I knew he was even a comic.
I knew he was a comic first.
Yeah. See, it was so weird when I found he was a comic. Like, he's a comic? What? And I'm sure like if he was the opposite, I was like, well, he's a libertarian? What the fuck?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. But so like, so I, when I, you know, I just recently met Dave for the first time in person recently myself. But like, I was like, oh, this is cool. I'm meeting Dave. But like, I wasn't like, oh, Dave, the libertarian guy. I was like, oh, Dave, peer of like a comic peer, yeah. I look up to you in comedy, like I think he's a good comic, like, you know what I'm saying? But like,
yeah,
that's it. And then, yeah, the libertarian stuff is aside, of course, but like, that's not what I was seeing. I do see him first as a comic. I know I'm the only one who does in our whole crew. I see him as a comic first and then a libertarian second, but that's me.
Yeah, no, I forget why I even brought that up. All right, the other thing I guess I wanted to talk about, shit, no, I'm having an Adam moment, like,
yeah, brain just sucks, right? I know,
completely, like,
my world
completely. Okay, so why did you become a comic? That's what I wanted to talk about. So like, what led you to you know, to this, and you know, what kind of personal meeting or, you know, gratification do you get out of it?
Jerking off in the green room. It's personal gratification, I guess.
Nice.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I asked for consent. We all learned from Louis. If you ask, it's okay. And then I get a Netflix special, I think. That's how it works.
It doesn't know the rules.
No, truly, it's because I got bullied as a kid.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I told the story 1,000 times, but like, I was a nerd before that was cool, like with comic books. Like, I was into Spider-Man and Batman in the 90s, and I was, like, gay back then. Like, no one liked that. Like, that was not cool. So I got made fun of a lot for it. So, and I was never really, like, super fighting physical. Like, I played football, and that's different physicality, right? But I was, like, always, I never wanted to, like, fight. I never really got physical too much. I mean, I definitely got to fight Staten Island growing up because it's Italian and Irish kids in Staten Island, so you're going to fight over football for sure. But, like, it was usually over sports. It wasn't, like, over, like, insults. And I was like, oh, if I'm funny, like, people just kind of, you kind of like deflect that shit.
Yeah.
You know? And then you just kind of fall, like, you see a comic and go, that guy's funny. And you're like, oh, what's this about? And you start to watch like other comics, like, oh shit, comedy's awesome. Like, I love comedy. And then I grew up again in Staten Island, New York, listening to fucking Opie and Anthony every fucking day with Jim Norton. And, you listen to Jim, you know, those guys, and then you listen to like Jim Norton bring on like Bill Burr. This is before they were all fucking famous, like, before they were all super famous, like Bill Burr, Louis C.K., Patrice O'Neill, Bob Kelly, Rich Voss, like all these killers in comedy, like the New York scene and stuff like that. And like, you know, Patrice O'Neill's my favorite comic of all time, rest in peace. But like, they're just the best. And so you just grow up listening to that, and you're like, oh shit, I think I want to do this, because like, you just fall in love like making jokes and making people laugh. And then also 18, I started doing MMA. So I was like, I don't want to fucking get bullied anymore. So that's going to end. So I'm going to be funny, and I'm also going to know how to fight. So if you want to try that luck, continue. But I'll fuck you straight up. And then, I just got into comedy. And at 18 was my very first open mic at the Comic Strip in Manhattan, which is a shit club now. The club fell apart. But it was my very first open mic. And I fucking fell in love with it ever since then. But I haven't been doing comedy since I was 18, because I took a break but I started technically at 18.
Cool. Yeah, there's something that, like, so the one passage I found, which kind of coincides with what you're talking about, Luke 6:21 says, "Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. And blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh." Which is, like, kind of like what I view humor as, like, you know, like if God made everything for a reason, I think God made humor and laughter to be, like, curative, right? Or like it's a almost a healing sort of thing, like for people who
they say it is physically, right?
Like, yeah, physically like healing, like, yeah, physically, emotionally, spiritually, like. And I remember, so it's like, ever since I was a kid, I was always, you know, kind of like the class clown, and like I always liked to just crack jokes. I always get in trouble. Remember, you know, get those when you were like in elementary school and you get the report cards, and it's like, you know, it's always like good grades. I always had like those stupid comments. I was like, "Is disruptive is in class?" And
I was a
that.
Nerd. I don't even like a book nerd.
I was a nerd too, but
I was like a goody two shoes as a kid. I complete opposite of who I am now. And I'm like, fuck every law.
Well, like I wanted nerd. To be like, I didn't get into trouble. Not in elementary school, at least. When I was in high school, I got into a few fights, but that's a whole different story. But when I was in elementary school, like I got good grades, and I always tried to, like, you know, follow the rules and all that, but I always, like, you know, like whenever I could, if while the teacher was saying something or while there was a movie going on, if I could just like interrupt with a joke or just something random to make people laugh, like I always loved to do it. And I still do that now, like when and sometimes it's like you'll do it in like inappropriate moments when like someone's upset with you and you're just like, oh, I don't know how to handle this, I'm gonna crack a joke. And it's just, yeah, like, sure, it's like instinctual. But I remember when I went down the whole vegan woke pipeline that I fell into when I was younger. And I remember kind of losing my sense of humor because all the people around me, you know, in that stupid like woke cult, like, you know, people that call, by the way, people that say the Mises Caucus is a cult, it's like, listen, I've been part of a cult. Like when you're a vegan, that's like a fucking cult. When you're part of the freaking woke brigade, that's, yeah, a freaking cult. That's a cult. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
you literally like, can't turn or you'll get fucking yelled at. Like,
dude, I lost all my friends.
Of course.
Like all of them, including like family members that now like barely talk to me.
Yeah. It's a shame.
So, you know, anyway, but I remember like losing my sense of humor because like I was being shamed for it and being told all the ways it was problematic, it was offensive, and, you know, and just, and I just kind of like, you know, peer pressure and just like the overwhelming amount of people who were like, you know, telling me that I was a piece of shit for the things that I thought was, you know, I was laughing at or would want to do. I just kind of took it. And cause I didn't have any sort of like intellectual defense or any, even like one person around me that was saying something different. So I lost my sense of humor and I became, and it was kind of hard cause like I work in like the automotive industry, like in the repair industry, like everyone in the blue collar, you know, field in general, and especially like in like auto repair or like these kind of like blue collar, like, you know, construction sites, like they tell like, you know, jokes that make the freaking hair on your back curl. You know what I mean? Like, and like I couldn't join. And even like, I think in the back of my head, I would still find that funny. But then like I trained myself to reflexively like judge people for those kind of jokes and to like, you know, and if someone would actually like make the joke at me, I'd be like, you know, man, that's kind of offensive. Like, I don't know why you find that funny. That's, it's just kind of, and like, it just brought everything down. And
it really is bitch behavior. Like,
yeah,
it really is. And like, I know people like, oh, you describe it better. Like, no, that is the best way to describe it. It's bitch behavior. It's like, who the fuck?
It's literally
O'Neil,
like
Patrice O'Neill used, yeah, to say, what word was it? But he says certain words were vaginal words, as in like that's a woman word. You know, what I'm saying? Like men don't use that word. Like, you know, I forget what word he was referencing, but like inappropriate. Like as a man, okay, if you go, that's inappropriate. He's like, that's a vaginal word. Like, that's a woman word, dude. He's like, guys don't use that word. Like what are you talking about? Like, you know, women think things are inappropriate because that's fine for them too, because that's we're different. Like, we're dudes. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't think that way. You shouldn't be thinking that way. And I get what he's saying. It's a very, like, you know, at the bare bones level of what he's saying. Obviously it's a comic, but like, he's right. Like shut the, what, there's certain words we shouldn't use as men. And this isn't, by the way, not a gay, straight, it has nothing to do with that. If you're a man, if you identify as a man, whatever that is to you, there's certain rules that come with being a man. And one of those is don't use certain words like inappropriate, or don't be like, that's fucking offensive. That's fucking bitch vaginal wordage, verbiage. Don't use that shit.
Yeah. No. And it's like, and then I remember when I got, you know, then after I talked about this when I had Dave on my show, like, you know, after Trump was elected, the left went like so far, like, you know, left that I just like, you know, I think it was mostly my Christian upbringing and I still believed in God. And like, you know, something in there tugged me and was just like, no, like that's, you know, that's Satanism. Like they're actually going off the deep end. And so like, I didn't go that far. Then when I fell into like, so I discovered libertarianism, and then all of a sudden I was confronted with like some of the, you know, like the humor and the culture that like, you know, that we're in. And I was just like finding myself free to laugh at it again, but it took me a while to get like to the point where I could make jokes like that again. And I talked about this on Jose's podcast when I was on last week about like, you know, when I encountered Tower Power Hour, when I encountered you and stuff, it was just like, I rediscovered something like it wasn't like I incorporated something new. I rediscovered something old that like I had when I was a young person, and it's made me a happier person. Cause like I used to be like miserable all the time, and I was always drowning myself in whether it was video games or like movies or just like on my phone. And like, I needed to distract myself constantly because I didn't have anything to do to actually deal with my anxiety or depression or stress or anything going on. And like, I, you know, this past couple years, I've kind of like rediscovered like that's kind of what the point of laughing and humor is like you have to take the dark shit you encounter in life. And like, this is something Jordan Peterson talks about when he says like the goal when you encounter darkness or your inner shadow is not to demolish it, but rather to integrate it into your being in a proper way. And part of how you integrate the trauma you go through or the darker parts of yourself, it, you know, there's many ways to do that, but one of them is to integrate it into humor. Cause that like that lets you confront that, but in a way that like you process it, you completely, and I think you process it so fully that you get to the point where you can make a joke about it, and that's kind of like you've come to the other side of it. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. No. It's well, like again, I roast the people I love. Like, I roast you all the fucking time. You roast me. It's like it's like a love language for me. Like if I don't fuck with you like that, like, that means I don't fuck with you. Like, it's that simple. Like, I need to fuck with you to fuck with you, if you get what I'm saying. Like, I need to know you're cool. Like, that's kind of like, it's kind of like I'm pulling you to the bathroom and like, say this word, so I know you're cool. Like, you know, it's kind of like that. It's like my process to see if I could fucking rock with you or not. So it's like, okay, this guy or girl, by the way, it doesn't matter. I'm like, could this person get fuck with and fuck with back? Oh, they can. Then they're probably cool and they can rock with me. But if you get the slightest bit of like, actually, we're done. I don't need you as a friend. So fuck off. you're good. I'm good. I don't need that in my life. I just want people who just want to fuck around and make jokes. Like, I don't give a shit.
Well, how can you trust someone to be there for you in like the actual serious shit if their fortitude is so weak that like a joke throws them off? You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
It's like if you can't handle, like, even if it's, let's say, because like this happens like every once in a while. Someone makes a joke that I still will go like, and even then I can usually be charitable and laugh, like not be a dick about it. And I'll be like, yeah, I don't know. That crossed maybe a personal line, but it's not like a big deal. You know what I mean? It's just like, okay, well, I wouldn't make that joke, but it's like, you know, not everything is, you've talked about this, humor subjective. Yeah. Not everyone finds certain things funny, but there's a difference between going, eh, that joke's not for me, and going like, oh, I'm offended.
100%.
Yeah.
I'm like, going to make a blog about it and ruin your shit. It's like, yeah, it's like, no, it's, I say this all the time. This is comic talk, but like, whatever. It's just like, you have two options as an audience member when you hear a joke you don't like. Okay. One of them is quietly stand up and leave and be respectful, because that's your right. Like, you're not, no one's saying you have to sit through the comedy show if you don't like the comic. 100%. You have your right to walk out, but peacefully and quietly and leave, or just sit there and shut the fuck up and just tough it out. But you don't get to yell. You don't get to interrupt the show. You should, I guess you can go home, but you shouldn't go home and blog about it like a fucking bitch. You know, it's like, you have options. Be an adult. just walk out of the room. You don't have to listen to it. Like, it's no one's like, fuck, listen to my fucking my anti-misogynist joke or whatever the fuck, like, or my pro-misogyny joke. It's like, no one's like that. No comic gives a shit if you walk. I mean, they care if you walk, but I'm saying, like, if you, no one's gonna be like, oh, you're really offended? No, you have to stay. Like, that'd be crazy. Like, no one's gonna say that. It's just people who want a virtue signal, or they think their fucking opinion's so important. They're like, I heard this joke about periods, and it's like, it hurt my feelings because I don't get periods anymore. It's like, whatever. And you're like, okay, lady, fuck off. Like, but a lot of people still do. So who cares what you, it's not about you. You know, it's like, it's a vague subject. But,
well, it's like, what makes something funny? It's like, if you ask people who get offended by jokes, it's like, okay, explain to me what humor is, what makes it, what is a joke, and what is the element of when you're joking about something that, like, makes it funny? I was like, because, like, if we're just going to state true facts that are unoffensive, like, try to state something true that's unoffensive that's funny. Like,
Joe Biden's a bad president.
Like, I mean, it's like,
but it's like so boring, right? It's like,
right,
so,
like, yeah, I mean, that's so like mundane. That's kind of like chuckle funny, but it's not like you can go up and
exactly. You can't crush with that.
That's a superficial level of funny that, like, you know, it's kind of like if you're going to compare it to, like, a diet, like what you feed your body, like, those kind of, like, surface level jokes are like munching on potato chips. They're kind of like, yeah, whatever. Like, you know, you get a little crunch out of them, but, like, you're not going to be satiated from that.
No, you're not going to, you're not crushing a room with that. With like, you know, who's bad in politics? It's like Joe, and name somebody. It's like, all right, is this PG or G, like, comedy? What are you doing?
Right.
Yeah, but like I said, I've said 1,000 times, like, you got fucking, how many subjects are there in comedy? I mean, countless, it's infinite subjects in comedy, right? I've seen woke people laugh at, like, a cancer joke, but then you say, like, a suicide joke, and, like, that's not funny. Suicide's not funny. That affected me personally. And you're like, oh, but cancer affected me personally, and I'm not crying about the joke. Like, you don't get to just pick out that either it's all good or none of it's good. Like, either you are for comedy or you're just against comedy. Like, if you could truly look me in the eyes and be like, I hate all comedy, I'd be like, okay, that's honest and consistent, right? Like, do you never laugh at anything? Cool. But, like, if you laugh at anything, that means that's offensive to somebody. And well, people are like, no, it's, yes, it is. Name any topic. I guarantee you I could direct that back to an offensive something that happened to somebody. You'd be like, a car accident. The sky, struck by lightning and killed. I guess, who the fuck, you know what I'm saying? Like, somebody will always have something to say. There's 8 billion people on the fucking planet. Like, you think something's not connected to somebody? Negative? Fuck off. Of course it is. So just because you're laughing at something that you don't think is offensive doesn't mean it's not offensive to somebody. So you're a hypocrite. Shut up.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, I hate... This is true for so many different categories of people.
Can you pull up Jose's comment real quick?
Yeah.
Hey, you know he's not allowed. So that's mean.
No, no, they invited me. I'm going on.
Oh, that's a troll.
I mean, I'm still... That's a troll. They said it's not, like, I realized, like, I asked them, I was like, is this a prank? And they were like, no, it's not a prank. I was like, yeah,
with the prank,
that's
so
what
bad.
You would say. That's what you would say if it
prank
wasn't
so bad. If guys, if it's not a prank, I swear to God, I'll never respect you as anybody funny people again. Okay. The funny comedic move is to invite him on and immediately kick him off as soon as he says his name. That's 100% the comedic move. And I expect better from you guys, is all I'm saying. Anyway, continue.
No, the real thing is, like, they let me on and I'm in the waiting room and they just keep on, like, every 5 minutes. Like, and we're gonna bring our guest up soon.
That's even funnier.
And
even
just
funnier.
like the whole hour goes on and I just even sit funnier. There in the waiting room, and then they
any
just close
way
out.
To tease it and not actually have you on is 100% the comedic route to go. I'm just saying. I'm just whatever as a comic's 2 cents.
I mean, I will say, like, I mean, like, it's hit a point, like when you and I shit in each other, it's like that's like a thing that can go on forever. The Tower Power Hour trolling, it's like we're running out of ways to make that joke funny. It's like it is getting close to.
How do you
I think
I feel about the fucking you're not funny joke? It's like, okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's like, but I'm not opposed to getting shit on. That's not what I'm, again, that's not what I'm saying. Yeah. It's the, but make it. And you're more, make it better, make it more entertaining. Like, you can't just keep saying the same shit to me. Like, I'm not gonna keep fake laughing. Like if you make me laugh, I'll laugh for sure. Like, if you hit me with a good roast on me, I'll laugh You know I will.
I think you said this. I was like, if you're going to make a joke that's either offensive or making fun of somebody, it has to be funnier than it is either the offensive or making fun of. Like, if you're just making fun of somebody, but it's not funny, then that's kind of when you're just being a dick. Or if it's like, if you're being offensive and it's not funny, then it's like, okay, like, maybe that's kind of just pointless, you know, and that's when you can boo someone off a stage. Is like, if you're just like over and over again, just like saying like wildly offensive shit and no one's laughing, it's like, yeah, you just, you know,
I told a story. I definitely told a story on my podcast. I won't say the word because I don't want to get you in trouble, but I did this show one time and, oh, Anthony Portillo could tell you because he was running it. So yeah. It's actually
that man
great...
scares me.
Yeah, no, he's the worst. No, I love him. I'm kidding. I love him. He was running a good show, but the problem they were doing, and he'll tell you this, they were just not booking the shows right. Like, they were booking on like seasoned comics like me, and then like brand new comics who just couldn't even have a 5-minute set. Like, you know, I couldn't even hold an audience's attention for a minute. And the lineup was all weird. And this kid went up in front of me, and he just said the F word, I don't know, a million times, but for no reason. Like, there was no context to it. Like, he was using it like ums or likes, like we just were. Like, he was just like, right. I'm just sitting on this off to the side, like, how the fuck am I gonna go on after this kid? Right? Like, I'm like, because the audience is just like, and they're not there, by the way, this audience is not a woke audience at all. This is like a Bethlehem. Not Bethlehem, a Ben Salem, Bucks County audience, like pretty, you know,
right. Yeah,
conservative leaning, right? No, I don't want. I said I want to get Jacob's channel in trouble. It's not. I've come a porcupine. I'll say it all day. I don't want to get you in trouble. I don't know if you can say that. Can I say that? I don't want to do that to your channel.
What? I'm not monetized or anything. And I'm
okay. The kid said faggot like a million fucking times. Oh, well, yeah. So he said like a million, so many times, again, just like, you know, and then the faggot kid went to the faggot store. And I was like, this isn't in the context of anything. He's just saying the word. He's just saying the word. And again, the audience at that point were like, horrified. They're just like, yo, dude, what the fuck, man?
Right.
So I'm just racking my brain. I'm like, what? I can't just go into material. That's it can't be like weather, right? Or like whatever fucking. You can't be like weather, right? So I just got off there. I just took the microphones out of the stand. I just put the stand to the side. I just took like a few seconds. I was like, so what was that faggot talking about? And giant laugh, right? Because like everyone got, but then I was like, that was crazy. Like I had to address it. I was like, that was nuts. He said it 20 times. There's no content. I just kept saying, I was like, I don't even care. I'm shitting on you, your face. I'm like, this is crazy. I know I'm not supposed to have another comic, but I'm like, dude, that's crazy. Like, my first 3 minutes of my set was like, that was insane. Like, you cannot do that. Like, it's so, like, link it to something. Like, it was wild. But yeah, but it's, again, like, it's all about context and fucking individual humor and shit.
Okay, but the thing I was going to say before we got off on the tangent here was that, like, people will act like there's these protected classes of people you can't joke about.
Yeah, it's well.
Whereas, like, when I've met these people, whether it's like, so, for example, I have a family member who attempted suicide. And, you know, and I remember when they were going through that dark part of their life. And now, like, they make the most dark jokes about, like, you know, anything, including suicide all the time. And, like, I remember when I used to be in my woke phase, I'd be like, oh, that's so offensive. And, like, he would always tell me, like, dude, like, you know that I attempted suicide. And, like, I use humor to cope. This is how I got through like the tough shit in my life.
Yeah.
And like, and then like the same thing, like some people will act like, whether it's gays or trans people or whatever, that like they're fragile snowflakes that like can't take a joke. Where like I've met, you know, several trans people that like, you know, they will be the first one to make a really effed up joke about, you know, trans people sometimes. It's just like, it's just because like they
dude, the only group getting offended on behalf of everybody is white educated liberal people,
right? Exactly.
That's it. Like, what are you like, it's and then a few of the other brainwashed chunks that they grab with them, but like the majority is just that crew.
Like, fuck the border wall. Can we build walls around all these like stupid like college campuses that are like just filled with a bunch of white woke leftists? Like, I don't care if it violates the NAP, just trap them in there. Let them, you know, force, like, listen, we're in Ancapistan now. You're trapped in your stupid woke bubble.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, like you can, like you're allowed to come out if you say the N-word. That's the path. Like you can enter society as soon as you say the N-word.
What's that? What was that fucking great video of the Democratic People's Convention in California?
Oh yeah. You're talking about the one where they're just like
personal privilege, and they're like the clapping is too loud. I need no, and then someone's like,
please don't use gender language.
I asked not to use gender, but like nothing gets done. That's what I'm saying. Like there was nothing I done that day. Probably it was just that over and over and over and over and over. It's like that's what you would have a bunch
right.
of fucking lunatics.
And if there's anything like, if there's anything that's especially true about the Bible and especially like the story of Jesus, it is the rejection of the victimhood mentality. Like you know what I mean? Like that's like the archetype that Jesus was. It was like he had any like Jesus had like almost every reason to be like, you know, like I got getting crucified, you know, for when you're completely innocent, being betrayed by one of your closest friends. It's like, you know,
Jesus would disagree with innocent.
Yeah. But I'm just saying like, you know, Jesus modeled that, like, you know, bear your cross and bear it like nobly, or like to say it in your language, like, you know, he wasn't a bitch about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, that's, you know, that's how I hate when people try to like shape the character of Jesus like he was some sort of like hippie, you know, some hippie bitch cuck fuck, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's no other words to describe that, you know what I mean? And the reason why I used to be really careful about cursing, because this is a Christian show, but then I got to the point where I was like, you know what, words are tools, right? And I'm going to use the best tool, the best word to describe what I'm talking about.
Tool, also what they are.
Right, yeah. But it's like, I can't just, like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, now there's, like, the example you gave, there's sometimes like people who are just weirdly using words for no reason at all repeatedly, and that's kind of like, okay, well, that's dumb, don't do that. I do believe in like cursing with intention and not just like, I'm not going to just drop, you know, f-bombs and use curse words.
I agree, even on
all
stage,
over the place.
I curse selectively. Yeah. I don't just curse to curse on stage. Like I'll pick points.
Yeah.
I'll curse more in conversation because I'll use them as fillers, which isn't great either. But like on stage when I'm doing an actual thing, like I'll be conscious to not say certain words or only say like a certain word for an emphasis. But yeah, no, I agree, because it does sound stupid just to say like fuck, just for no reason, like to be like fucking fuck, right?
You're right,
like,
yeah.
I don't know, dude. I don't know. You could use a word in there, huh?
Right, yeah. It's just like intellectual laziness,
yeah.
I guess. And it's like but at the same time, there are like part of your vocabulary sometimes, like I think those words serve a purpose. And if I feel compelled to use that word, I'm not going to let the fear of like people being offended stop me from saying things. That's true whether it's about a curse word. That's true whether it's about me preaching what I think is true in the Bible. That's true about, you know, like what we in the Mises Caucus and what we talk about, you know, as libertarians and what our complaints with the Libertarian Party. It's like, I'm so tired. Like I've been there. That's what, like, the people that like slander us, and especially the people that, like, dox my family and shit, and act like I'm some like people call me like a Trumper or alt-right.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yes, that was me, and I apologize for it. But like, I mean, stop bringing it up. I already said I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah. But it's like, you guys don't know anything about me. I used to be one of you,
yeah.
And I know how miserable you are. I know what a downtrodden, pathetic existence that is.
I also know
the consequences of giving into that stupid fear mentality of like of being shamed from saying something that you believe is true or saying something you want to say. It's like, you know, now listen, I mean, there is something to like, if you say something and it's wrong, like, yeah, there'll be some consequences, I guess, but you shouldn't. But like, then just if you say something and it's wrong, just own it, be like, oh, I got it wrong, and just move on. Not gonna kill you.
Bill Burr said it the best. He's like, apologize if you truly feel like you did something wrong. Otherwise, tell them to fuck off. He's like, what is it? Like 15 people in a minority. I mean, when he says minority group, it doesn't mean like black people. It means like whatever the group you offended is, you know, like moviegoers. It doesn't matter whatever he's talking about. He's like, who gives a shit? He's like, it's a small group. Fuck off. Tell them to fuck off. It doesn't matter.
You can also tell the difference between people who are genuinely upset and who probably deserve an apology between the freaking like social media mob who is just trying to, you know, and we see what happens any time any of us capitulate to those people and give them an inch. What is it? They don't, you know what I mean? It doesn't silence them. Like, they just keep coming back. So
dude, Kevin Hart doing what he did for the Oscars is the best fucking thing. When they were like, you gotta apologize for the gay slurs again. He's like, nah. He's like, I did. I already did that. I already said I'm sorry for it. Already moved on as a person. Not apologizing again. Fuck off. I don't need the Oscars. You need me. And
right.
He's right. But he's right. And he's like, it's like that again. Go woke, go broke. And he's like, I ain't fucking doing that.
Exactly. Yep. And I mean, it's just, you know, telling the it's telling the truth, right? And I think there's like a connection between, like, there is a connection to me between like the call that Christians have and the calls that we have as libertarians, and like what comics, kind of the role that they fill. Like, it's all different ways of being bold in telling the truth. You know what I mean? Like, and you have to, and they're done in different ways in different contexts. But like, I think it, you know, part of being a well-rounded person and being a mature person is like being able to incorporate and tell the truth in those different contexts. So I don't know, that's at least what, like, that's what my experience has been over like the past couple years. Like that's what I have come to realize.
Yeah.
And yes, David Brady, I did make comedy seem super nerdy. And you
well,
know what? Nerd shit's cool now. So fuck you. Go to bed. You know, it's past your bedtime. It's a freaking school night. You know, this is why
he's my new YouTube thumbnail maker.
Or was he really? Oh yeah, he was the one who was dissing you for your thumbnails.
He's correct. I'm bad at that. I don't even have Photoshop.
Dude, you're not as bad as me. I use the same thumbnail for every freaking video.
Well, it's because you're creative.
Well, well, no, I actually used to make a custom thumbnail for each video, but it just got too exhaustive. And like, I don't know. I just at some point I just got lazy. And just,
I mean,
like,
listen, if you look at Drop Tent, the company I co-own with between me and Neil Wood and myself, I am the face and money man of that company. It ends there. Everything else is Neil. He's the artist. He's a graphic designer. He could draw. Everything that you see through comes out of us is through him. He's a talented one. I just fucking show up to places.
Well, I'm supposed to be getting Top to draw me some art and stuff, but he keeps on not getting back to me. Everyone get off this stream and tag Top Lobster and tell him to finish drawing my shit.
Yeah, sure. I'll appreciate that.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, we're coming up on time, man, but it was great having you on. You want to give, I don't know, any closing thoughts and just then your plugs where people can find you. And yeah, definitely if anyone hasn't, you know, I've been on Adam's show a couple times now, so definitely go check out. Those were good conversations, so check those out if you haven't.
Yeah, they were fun. Well, I mean, I'll never have you on again because I hate you. But so, you know, count those, put those in the bank. So cherish those episodes.
Fuck you, Jose.
What do you say? Maybe you guys get better. You can head off.
We're both still on YouTube, okay?
Yeah, you know, whatever.
Like Tower Power.
You
know,
like
what?
Dick.
Like, I don't know if I want to go on Tower Power Hour anymore. You know what I mean? Like, you lose your show. You're not even on YouTube. I don't know. YouTube's actually gay. Never mind.
YouTube is gay. I know. I hate it.
But, you know, like, I like Odyssey, but, like, I don't know. Maybe it's just my phone, but, like, when I try to listen to videos on Odyssey, like, they load and play so terribly. Maybe it's just an Apple thing.
I don't know. The app's not, it's whatever. But I am also on Odyssey and YouTube. I'm on both because I'm still not banned from YouTube. So yay. So youtube.com/Adam Nutter or odyssey.com/Adam Nutter for the porcupine. I also throw some stand-up clips up there occasionally. Oh shit, I forgot to throw one up. Fuck, I forgot to throw that up. Reminding myself, gotta throw one up. So get that up for stand-up clips and stuff. And catch me on the road and locally May 13th. I'll be at Rexy's in Jersey, right over the bridge in Philly. Right over the bridge from Philly. That's a free show. The bars make it. It's so, I hate this. This is so inside baseball. I hate when they do that. Bars making it a free show, which is fucking annoying. So it's like the bars paying us, but like not ticket sales. And the reason I hate that is because people who don't pay for tickets don't give a shit about the quality of the show. So they're more likely to talk and interrupt it because they didn't pay for the product. So it's like, yeah, we're getting paid, but it's like, I'd rather people buy tickets. Anyway, it's free to go. So you can just call the place and reserve your tickets and show up. And don't heckle, I'll fight you. But then the next day, May 14th, I'll be at the Pop-In, the monthly show we run up in Chalfont, Pennsylvania, in Bucks County. Coming after that, 8 p.m. show. Tickets are available, droptent.com/events. I have other shit coming up too, down the road, especially I'll be on the road more in the summer. So just hit up my Instagram and Twitter. Follow me on Twitter, at Adam Nutter. I post all my show dates. Hit me up. And go listen to Cult of Us, my comedy podcast to do with the great Neil Wood, youtube.com/Cult of Us.
Jesus Christ, that was longer than my intro.
Yeah, suck my dick.
Gosh, all right. Well, God, people are still trolling us in the comments, but I'm not.
I know, yeah, because, yeah. But I love it. That's why I love it. That's why I love that shit. It's so funny.
Yeah, I know. Cool. Well, thanks, Adam, for coming on. We'll do this again sometime. And thanks, everybody, for watching. And yeah, till next time, don't fear the fire.